Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." This is the gospel of our Lord. There was one time in my life that I was privileged to be a part of naming a congregation. The names that we suggested for that congregation were very different than the names that I grew up with, the names of churches. As a boy, I grew up in a church called St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church. And the county that I was raised in had another St. Paul's. There was, I think, three St. John's. There was a St. Mark's, a St. Luke's, a St. James, a St. Peter. Across the county line, just a few miles, there was even a St. Matthew's. The oddball churches in the county that I grew up in, just the names, there was a Bethany, and there was a Trinity, and Emmanuel. Now, I'm not sure why, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, people decided on Saint So-and-so for the name of a church. But I do believe that church names have changed over the years. 17 years ago, we chose the name Beautiful Savior. Just about 50 years ago, this congregation chose Abiding Word. Just down the road from our congregation in our church body, there's a Christ the Lord. There is a Victory of the Lamb. There's a Redeemer. And just down 1960, a few miles, there's a Prince of Peace Lutheran. All of those names reflect different truths about our God, different names that Jesus gives to himself in the Scriptures. I've yet to find a Lutheran church called Sword Lutheran or Division Lutheran. But those are names, those are ideas that Jesus introduces in the Scriptures. We know the night Jesus was born, the angels sang above the fields of Bethlehem, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." On Christmas Eve, we sing "Silent Night, Holy Night, sleep in heavenly peace." At Christmas time, we remember the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where the Lord says that the Messiah will come and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. He's the Prince of Peace. But this morning in the gospel lesson, he reminds us, teaches us, that the Prince of Peace brings division in this world. Brings a sword. When God created the world, there was no division between him and his creation. Adam and Eve were perfect and holy in every way, but once they sinned, that was ruined. They had separated themselves from God, and had God left them alone, they would have remained in that state of separation from God, and there'd be no hope of peace. But God immediately promised to send a Savior. God promised that the offspring of the woman would come, the Prince of Peace, and he would crush the devil's head. And with that promise and Christ's fulfillment of all of those promises at the cross and the empty grave, God brought peace back into this world. But when peace came to earth, so did war, and so did division. That's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." We've probably been around enough to know that we can expect that kind of division out there in the world between the people of God and between the enemies of God. But here Jesus says sometimes that division will show up in your very own family. And understand that Jesus is not telling us that if there's an unbeliever who happens to be in our family, we should never talk to them. We should stay completely away from them. What he is calling us to see and to understand is that the believer and the unbeliever are going to think different, they're going to talk different, they're going to act different. And we should fully expect to see those differences in our lives as we live in this sinful world. It's easy out there. It's easy to see those differences. Like when Moses came down Mount Sinai and saw the people worshiping the golden calf, there's a clear division. Still today, we can identify those things out in the world that are opposed to God's word and are opposed to our Savior. It gets harder to see and hear in our own heart. So Jesus gives us some instruction. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." A few years ago, I did a Bible study on the hard sayings or the hard teachings of Jesus. This is one of them. We love our families. We love our parents. We love our children. And they love us. This morning, the children's message, the first service, one of my daughters came and sat right next to me and grabbed my arm. "Anyone who loves them more than me is not worthy of me." Of course, we love our families. Because they're gifts from God, aren't they? And God wants us to love them. Of course we love our lives because God gave us life and he wants us to take care of it. But these blessings that God gives to us can be turned upside down by our enemy, the devil, and cause temptation and sin. That's the devil's really good at, taking the blessings that God gives and turning them into obstacles and distractions and using them to separate us from God. And all the while, we have good intentions. Well, God wants me to take care of myself. He wants me to care for my family. But God said he's number one over all of those things. Maybe an easy way to think about this is to think about how we use time in those three areas of our family, ourself, and our God. And it's not really fair because God wants us to use our time to take care of ourselves and take care of our family. But never once does God say that that should push him lower on our scale. God is always number one. But sometimes family and self does just that. It pushes God away. Think of something as simple as church attendance or Bible study attendance. And that gets us up a little bit because we live under grace and we know God doesn't say you can never miss church. It is okay to be on vacation, to have a game or a fishing trip. And there's no command about Bible study every week. But it is good to evaluate the amount of time we give to that primary relationship which is between us and the Lord. Have you ever done a self-evaluation? Looked at your life, certain areas of our life, and evaluated yourself? If we are at all self-aware, we probably have a good idea of our shortcomings and the things that we struggle with, right? But if you bring somebody else into the equation, and after you've done your self-evaluation, you ask that person who's an outsider to evaluate you, they may put their finger on those same shortcomings that you've identified, but be a whole lot more harsh and critical. And you may feel judged and attacked, and you say, I know I got some problems, but I'm not that bad. In our spiritual life, Jesus is calling us to do some self-evaluating, but not entirely by ourselves, because he's looking over our shoulder, and so all excuses have to run by him. And Jesus' standard for evaluation is not on a scale of 1 to 5. Jesus' standard is perfection, because that's what the law of God says. Be perfect in every possible way. Be holy. And when we are measured up to God's standard of perfection, Jesus makes it very clear that with our sin, we've separated ourselves from God. Because of our sin, we deserve to be removed from God forever. But the Prince of Peace, he came to bring division. The Prince of Peace came to separate us from the consequences of our sin. To do that, Jesus had to remove himself from the glories of heaven. He set aside the full use of his divine power and came into this world to become a real person. He stepped out of that role as judge over all and put himself under the very law of God that applies to each of us, and obeyed it perfectly. Never once did Jesus elevate something over the Lord, even his own mother. And we know how much Jesus loved Mary, because at the cross, as he hung there on the cross, he said to John, you take care of her. This is your mom now. And so he loved her dearly. But when she tried to get in the way of his father's work when he was a 12-year-old boy in the temple, or when she tried to rush him at the wedding of Cana, Jesus loved his heavenly Father more. He did that for us. And then in the greatest act of love, he took our sin. God laid it all on him, took it away from us and put it on Jesus. And at the cross, he paid for it. And with that sacrificial work, and with his resurrection on Easter Sunday, God moved from us that sin and that guilt. And through that message of the gospel, God has brought us into a relationship with him. God has set our hearts apart, changed them. And so when we hear these words of our Savior, we understand what he's saying. He wants us to listen to him, and he wants us to put him first and to receive encouragement from his word to do that. That's what he's talking about in those last verses of our text. He says, anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. The prophet, the righteous man, those are the people that bring us the message of God's word. And when we listen to that message of the gospel, to know that we've been set apart from sin and brought into the family of believers, we are rewarded. We are rewarded with the promise of complete forgiveness. We are rewarded with peace. We are rewarded with the certainty that one day God will separate us forever from sin and all its consequences when he calls us home to heaven. And we are rewarded with a very unique way of viewing this life. It's a view of service. The last verse of our text, Jesus says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. That simple act of service that you give to a family member, to a stranger, Jesus says, there's a reward of grace. It's a reward that he describes in Matthew chapter 25 as he pictures judgment day for us. On judgment day, Jesus gathers all the people before him and separates them, the believers from the unbelievers. And the believers on his right, Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I need clothes, you clothed me. And after he goes through that whole list, because he knows everything, the believers say, Lord, when did we do that? Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. The Prince of Peace has brought that division into your heart. He's given you the ability to understand life in this world, to be aware of all the struggles and all the difficulties and the separation that sometimes needs to happen, but also to understand that your life is about service to your Savior, who sets you apart to be his own now and forever in heaven. Sometimes in life, the divisions are very clear and very obvious. Often it's more difficult to see when we're looking at our own life. We don't like to see the division that needs to be there. We don't like to separate ourselves from those sins that we're comfortable with. Jesus helps us. He gives us his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And as he lays the word of God before us, he shows us the way. The way to make difficult decisions, the way to separate ourselves, not out of guilt or out of obligation, but because our loving Savior calls us to do that. And he strengthens us to make those divisions. He strengthens us as we gather around the Word of God. He strengthens us as we recall our baptism, as we come to the Lord's table. He strengthens us by reminding us that he's taken our sins away and set us apart as his people. Then we do it. We make the Lord our priority, always, because the Prince of Peace brought that division into our hearts. This teaching in Matthew chapter 10 is a hard teaching of Jesus. It's a teaching that is truly for the believer. You got to be a believer to understand what Jesus is saying here. It's not the starting point if you want to talk to somebody about Jesus. You start with John 3:16, right? The need of a Savior and what God has done. This is a message that we hear as we gather around that word in worship, as we study it. And so we're probably not going to use this idea in the name of a church, sword or division. But we will use the idea of Prince of Peace or beautiful Savior or abiding word. Abiding word. It's a great name for our church, because it reminds us that the word of the Lord stands forever. And it's that word that we use, the word that set us apart as God's people, the word that works in people's hearts to set them apart, a word that we share. And when we share that word, we have that promise that is living and active and it's sharp. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides people. It brings those outside in. It brings those enemies of God and makes them into his children. And he's given us that tool to do ministry. May God bless us as we bring that message to this world, that there is a Prince of Peace, and he brings division.